pastor around. And I'm going to share a passage of Scripture with you. You can just kind of scatter all around here. Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Anybody remember how many pieces of armor there are? Six? Eight? Four? Six? Here's what we're going to do. We're going to look at each piece of armor, and then we're going to drop down to 10 push-ups. For every piece of armor. Okay? The video that we watched in the last session, and guys, don't feel bad. If you can do one push-up, do one push-up. If you do one each, you get four or six, depending on how many pieces here. This is not to embarrass anybody. One thing is to get us up out of our chairs. Sitting in this country. We need to do less sitting. We need to do more straining. And I love that video that we saw at the end of the last session because it said, you can do something. Something. You can do something to change your world. And Paul says in the passage that we're looking at in Ephesians chapter 6, that if we're going to do something, we got to prepare ourselves for battle. And if you're preparing for battle, you want to be as tough as you can be. And guys, I just want to challenge each one of you to realize God has created you and placed you on this earth for, and that purpose includes the fact that He wants to use you as a warrior. And you may look at yourself and say, I am the least likely guy that could ever be a warrior. No, you're probably the one God's looking for the most. See, He doesn't use takes the weak and He makes them strong. He doesn't use the smart, He takes the fool and makes them wise. He doesn't use the able, takes the available, and He gives them His ability. Paul said, when I'm weak, that's when I'm strong. You know why? Because God worked through his weakness to use it as a channel for God's strength, not Paul's. So that everybody that looked at Paul and they saw the guy that he was a little short, bandy-legged, bald-headed, beady-eyed, hook-nosed Jewish guy, rabbi. And he changed the world. Because he simply put himself in God's hands. So I'm not going to make this long, but we're going to have some fun with it. I'm going to start off with three verses in Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. Paul says, finally, my brethren, that includes each and every one of us. If you're here as a child of God, you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you are included. And if you're not a believer in Jesus Christ, you need to join the club. You need to put your faith in Him, and you need to stop resisting, you need to stop holding out, and you need to realize that without Him, you are lost and helpless and hopeless and useless. But you enter into Jesus Christ by faith, you have begun the process of becoming a spiritual warrior. And I know spiritual warriors right now that are paralyzed in wheelchairs. Spiritual warriors who are laid up in hospitals. I know spiritual warriors whose bodies have been broken because of persecution, and they suffer every day, and they are some of the most phenomenal warriors that I have ever seen. So, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles, the strategies of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. I want to point out four things out of these verses, and this is what I call boot camp. Paul's saying this is just sort of laying the foundation. This is just background. Number one, he says, be strong in the Lord. It's actually in the passive voice, and what it means is receive his strength. You don't have the strength. I don't have the strength. None of us have the strength. He does. We can only be strong in him when we let him be strong in us. Let him take your eyes, your mouth, your ears, your hands, your feet, and start working through you to accomplish the plan that he has for your life. You can do something. You can change the world. Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. How are we going to be strong in the strength of his might? He's about to show us, because he says, put on the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God means that it's enough for every need. It covers every part of you. It protects every part of you. It secures every part of you for his plan and purpose. And I know that Fassel and Carrie have thought this. My wife and I have thought this many times when we have gone into countries. We have crossed borders. I've crossed more borders than most Navy SEALs. Illegally, I mean. Crossing borders undercover. Crossing borders in the middle of the night. Crossing borders where if you get caught, you get shot, or you get put in prison, or you get tortured. And my wife is always right there alongside me. And I'll tell you right now, there is nobody I know that's tougher than her when it comes to just being tough. We are invincible. We are untouchable. As long as we're in the plan of God, nothing can touch us but what he allows. So put on the full armor of God, and then there's the purpose. How can we be strong? We can only be strong if we put on the armor. Why are we putting on the armor? Because the armor has a purpose. The purpose is that you may be able to stand. This word stand occurs four times in this passage, and it comes from an ancient Roman battle cry. The ancient Roman battle cry was stata. And when the Roman soldiers, the advanced soldiers, the veteran soldiers of the Roman army took their stand on the battle line, their motto was victory or death. Either we are going to win this day or we're going to die, because we will never retreat. God wants each and every one of us to plant our feet somewhere for something that relates to his purpose and stand. And then the fourth thing that we need to know. First, receive his strength. How do I do that? Put on his armor. Why do I put on the armor? So that I'll be able to stand. Why do I need to be able to stand? Because I'm facing an army of unseen, invisible spirit warriors that are smarter than me, stronger than me, scarier than I'll ever be. And I have to be able to fight them and win. Okay? So this is the background. This is boot camp. Boot camp teaches us that we need to be strong. It teaches us how to be strong, put on the armor. It teaches us why we need to put on the armor so that we can stand. And it teaches us why we are going to have to stand, because we got an enemy. That's boot camp. Now he starts talking about the armor. So here it is. This is where the fun begins. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, putting on the belt of truth. The belt of truth, and I'm going to just try to keep this real simple. The belt of truth is the Word of God. If you ignore the Word of God, then you haven't put on the first piece of equipment. The Roman soldier put his belt on before he put anything else on, because everything else connected to it. The breastplate connected to it. The sword connected to it. The armor that covered his thighs connected to it. The belt had to be first. And what Paul's saying, remember when Paul wrote this, he was chained wrist to wrist with a Roman soldier. He was in prison when he wrote this. And there was a Roman soldier who was an advanced Roman military man, a military veteran that he was chained to. He was one of the elite Roman soldiers called the Praetorian Guard. And the Praetorian Guard were the best of the best. They were the Navy SEALs. They were the Marine Recon. They were the Army Rangers of the ancient world. They had been through many, many battles. And so Paul's sitting here writing this letter to Christians around the world, and he's writing the letter, and he looks over at the guy, and he says, tell me, what do you put on first? And the guy says, I put my belt on first. Everything connects to the belt. So Paul says, all right, put on the belt of truth. And putting on the belt of truth is something you've got to do every day. If it's one verse, like push-ups. Every day, there's generally, and sometimes I don't get it done every day, but there's three things I try to do every day physically. I try to do something that works my arms, I try to do something that works my torso, and I try to do something that works my legs. It can be as simple as push-ups, sit-ups, and squats. And I have about 10 different kinds of push-ups that I do so that it works me in all different kinds of ways, and different kinds of sit-ups, front sit-ups, side sit-ups, crunches, squats, step-outs, climbing stairs, whatever you can do. Strengthen those arms, and guys, if you just do a little, if you're going to put on the belt, it's not, you don't have to read a book a day, you only have to read a chapter a day, but get something. Belt of truth, let's do 10. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Good job. Belt of truth. We've done something. What's he say next? He says, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness. And by the way, these are all aorist participles. Hang on, we're not there yet. These are all aorist participles. These first three. The belt, the breastplate, and the sandals. And the reason he uses the aorist participle is because the aorist participle tells you that you've got to do this before you can do something else. You have to put on the first three before you can even hope to stand. He's saying, put on the whole armor of God so you can take your stand and stand against the enemy, and the first three are critical. You will never stand if you don't absorb the Word of God, and you will never stand until you understand that you have the breastplate of righteousness. The breastplate of righteousness is not my righteousness. It's the righteousness of Christ. His righteousness has been imputed to you and I as believers. That righteousness has been infused into us by the grace of God. And because we know that we have that righteousness, then we can begin to live it out. Anything you or I ever do that is ever going to be right in God's eyes is going to be because the righteousness of Christ is in us. It's not something we can produce. So we got to put on the breastplate, and that's 10 more. So I'm going to do a different kind of push-up this time. See, before I did it with hands side by side, this time it's going to be offset push-up. You do whatever you feel comfortable. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. You can stay on the floor if you like. Stay kneeling, stay sitting. Lay down on your back, as far as I'm concerned. We've done something. Right? When you do a little, you've done more than if you hadn't done it. Right? What's the first one? Remind me. Belt. The belt is what? How do I put the belt on? Get into the Word. Second one, breastplate. It's what protects you. It protects your vitals. Where does that righteousness come from? Is it mine? Is it my good deeds? Is it my ability to produce that? No. All righteousness belongs to God. That breastplate is what protects us. And guys, in a very practical way, your willingness to live out His righteousness is the best protection you have in life. Turn your back on what the Scripture says is right, and you are going to hurt yourself. We are our own worst enemy. we cause our own greatest injuries. Paul was able to suffer through what Fassel just taught us about, all the things that he went through, because he knew that his life was right in the sight of God. And when you have that conviction, you can endure anything. Put on that breastplate of righteousness. And then he says, having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. What he's saying is this. If you get into the Word and you have a conviction that His righteousness belongs to you, and you begin living that righteousness out, and you have prepared yourself to go and be an evangelist, go and share the message with someone else, you're already well on your way to standing against that invisible army. That enemy army can't touch you as long as you are walking in the will of God. So let's do 10, and this time I'm going to switch, offset the other way. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. All right? We've done something, right? We've done 30 push-ups now. We're not even halfway through. We're just beginning. So we put on the belt, study God's Word, we put on the righteousness, we have confidence in the righteousness of Christ. We have the sandals on our feet, we are prepared to go and share the message. And then he says in verse 16, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. The shield of faith means that now that you've been in His Word, and now that you understand His righteousness, and now that you are prepared to share the gospel, you have to go forward with a full and total trust, confidence, conviction. Not only that His Word is true, but that He is faithful. See, sometimes we focus so much on putting our faith in the Word or in the message that we forget behind the message is a person. We can only trust the message because we trust the man. We know that what he has told us is true. All right? So, take the shield of faith. 10 more. I'm going to make it a little harder on myself. I'm going to do what I call diamond push-ups to the chest. We ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. We've done something. Right? We've done 40 push-ups. Or if you haven't done 40, maybe you've done 4. Listen, never try to compare yourself to anybody else. You're you. But I'll tell you one thing you should do. Let everyone else be a challenge to you. Let everybody, if you see someone who can speak and you can't speak, say, I'm going to study that person and learn how they communicate, how they speak. Here's a person that can run, I can't run. I'm going to learn to run. I had hip surgery about 7 years ago. I was totally crippled. I was having to walk with a cane. I was just, my left hip was completely gone. And I went to India and had surgery because it was cheap in India. By God's grace, it's proved to be strong. It makes it where I can run again. When I was laying in the hospital, actually when they brought me in from the surgery room, I had just woke up, I was all doped up. They're wheeling me back in the room and I looked up and I saw Nan's face. I said, you want to go for a run? And she laughed, because I figured I'd never run again. I figured if I could walk 2-3 miles, I'd be happy without pain. Well, I started my rehab, got to where I could walk a mile. I was having to walk on crutches, and I got where I was doing a mile. The people in the hospital thought I was crazy because they said, we want you to start walking up and down this hall. So I said, okay, how long is this hall? Well, this hall is so many feet long, and I said, okay, that many feet, it's going to take me this many times up and down to do a mile. I started doing a mile every day. And then when I got outside, I started doing three and then four, and then finally I got rid of the crutches, and finally I'm walking 5 miles a day. All of a sudden it hit me, why don't I run? Now, I don't do long distance running anymore because that pounding is what ruined my hip in the first place. I sprint. I try to find a grassy place and I just do 100 yards, sprint up, come back, sprint up, come back. I'm not very fast, but I'm a whole lot faster than I'd be if I wasn't doing it. So you just do something, guys. Do what you can. Verse 17. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit. So I'm debating now. We've got two in one verse. Do we do 20 or do we do two sets of 10?
20.
We do 20? Okay. The helmet of salvation. What does a helmet protect? Protects your head. What is going to protect your mind as you go out into the world with all the accusations of the devil against you? The helmet, what's he talking about? I believe the helmet of salvation is the conviction of eternal security. Guys, 1 year after I came to faith in Jesus Christ, I almost took my own life. I almost committed suicide, and I'll tell you why. Because the devil began to whisper in my ear the lie that I had lost my salvation. I was going through some hard times. I was going through some depression. I was going through some discouragement. And the devil began whispering in my ear, do you know why you feel this way? Because you've lost your salvation. Because when I first came to Christ, I was so full of joy and peace, I couldn't believe it. And I thought life was going to be that way the rest of my life. And all of a sudden, I'm going through disappointment, discouragement, and all of these things. And I'm thinking, why do I feel this way? I must have lost my salvation. I almost killed myself. I almost took my own life because I didn't have the helmet, the thing to protect my mind, that I am secure in Christ. You are secure in Christ. So take up the helmet of salvation, and then the sword of the Spirit is the word that you use. It's not everything that you know. It's what you use at that moment. In that class, or in that conversation with a friend, in that opportunity to share Christ, you may just use one verse. That one verse is all you need. The Roman sword was a short sword. It was only this long. And it's already been mentioned. I think Mark mentioned it. I think possibly Fassel. Those Roman soldiers were little guys. And they took on the barbarians and they won. With that little tiny sword. When the barbarians, the Thracians, had 6-foot broadswords. And when the Thracians went into battle with their broadsword and they saw these little Romans marching toward them with that little pig sticker of a Roman short sword, they all started laughing. So what the Romans did was they marched forward. They always had their shield covered from their knees to above their head. They would hold the sword just to the side of it, and they started marching forward, and the Thracians got their great big old broadswords, and they all took a great big swing, and the Romans just backed up and let the sword go by, and then they moved in, and they just started stabbing. The Roman historian Vegetius says, Romans do not slash with their swords. And they scoff at those who do. The Roman short sword was not a slashing. I know you saw a gladiator. And I know you saw these guys doing this. That is not the way the Romans fought. Their primary weapon was their shield. They used that shield to batter. It had sharpened edges. They could cut your head off with a shield. They could slam it into you. They could lock them together. They could do that turtle formation. And they waited for an opening, and when they got the opening, they said, all we need is that much of that blade in that guy's chest, and he's done. And that way they could fight all day, because these Thracians are going like this all day long, and these Romans just going, choom, choom, choom. They defeated their enemies. So let's see. Helmet of salvation, sword of the Spirit. I'm going to do a different kind of push-up. I'm going to do the wide kind. We got 20. Ready? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. We got it. See, what's that make us? 50 now? We're up to 50. 60? Okay, I can't count. About a year ago, I was at a camp in Australia, and there was a young guy going into the Army. And the guys in the dorm were having push-up contests. So they came out and grabbed me and said, "Mr. Cunningham, come in. We got a push-up contest going." And they said, this guy, I can't remember what his name was, they said, "He's beat everybody. You got to go against him." So I said, "Okay." I said, "How many push-ups has he done?" I think he'd done 53. So I said, "Okay." So I got down. I started knocking him out. I got 57. So then he got down and did 62. So he won anyway. But it was still fun. All right. So we have... Have we only done 60? Yeah, because we've done six things, right? Okay, so here's number seven, and a lot of people miss this. The seventh is probably the most important. Praying. Praying always with all prayer, because as every soldier knows, communication is your most important weapon. If you can't call for backup, if you can't tell someone you're in trouble, if you can't get reinforcements, you're in trouble. So praying, he says, but praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints, and praying for me. Paul is the only apostle who asked people to pray for him all the time, because Paul knew how important that prayer was. So for prayer, how many have we done? 60? So this is going to be 70. Yikes. All right, let's see. What have I done? I've done this, I've done this. I've done this, I've done this.
Cross your feet.
Let's do Hindu push-ups. You know what Hindu push-ups are? Just get on your hands and knees like a dog. Come up on your toes. And go like you're going under a fence. You go down and then up and back up. There's one. And two. And three. And four, and five, and six, and seven, eight, and nine, and ten. Now, I got to tell you something about Hindu push-ups. We just did 10, right?
Yes, sir.
On each one of those, you're actually doing two.
Yeah.
So we've done 20, so we've done 80.
Woo, we're done.
Now here's what I think. Why would we want to stop short of 100?
Right.
So I'm going to do 10, offset this way, and 10 this way. Ready?
Yeah.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and five more for the Lord. 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5. All right, guys. Is that better than sitting in a chair?
Yeah.
I think so. You guys have been great. That's all I got for you today. Put on the armor. Do it every day.